All right, welcome in everybody to the Go 24/7 podcast. My name is Glenn West, your senior writer here at the site. LSU's transfer portal class appears to be nearing its end. The Tigers have signed 41 new players over the last few weeks. So we've got a lot to dive into today, a lot that we're going to cover. Just kind of giving my initial thoughts on this class, on this roster, just kind of where things stand with another really important prospect that LSU is pursuing and still right in the middle of the mix of. So we'll get into all that today. Before we get into some of the nitty gritty, we'd like to ask you guys, if you're listening on YouTube, are watching on YouTube, please give us a subscription over there and a like and a comment and share. It always helps us out as we're trying to reach as many LSU fans as possible. And then the same goes for if you're listening on Apple or Spotify, the podcast always has helped out if you're giving us a subscription over there. Everything's free, and so that takes care of that. So just going into the transfer portal cycle here, you know, I think LSU's class right now ranks number one by far. I mean, if you look at all the services, it's the number one class. But over at 24/7 Sports, it certainly is the far and away best class in the transfer portal. I think the Tigers are sitting around an 82 rating right now, and I think the second highest is like a 63 or something. So LSU's really gone. Gone really deep into this portal cycle. We knew that they would, and we knew that they needed to. But it's also just, you know, it's been a historic overall offseason, I think, for LSU. When you look at what they've done in the portal combined with what they did in the freshman class last in December by signing the 14 guys in the early window, and then they've since brought in a couple of more defensive backs, Amari Peterson, Jackson Williams are kind of some of the more recent additions for the group, and then JUCO signee Jacoby Jones is also in that mix as well. And so you look at those 17 guys that LSU's brought in from the freshman class, and you combine it with the 41 that we have right now, combined in the transfer portal. That gives you a pretty good indication that they've gone for a major roster overhaul here. And it's actually one of the highest. It is actually, you know, it is the highest graded overall class when you combine those two, portal and freshmen, in the history of 24/7 Sports. I think they're sitting right now at a 349 overall grade when you combine those two classes. And so really just nothing but work for Lane Kiffin and his staff here over the first month that they've been in town, first month and a half really that they've been in town. Just done an amazing job of restocking this roster after losing, I think it was around 35, 36 players that ended up entering the transfer portal for LSU. You replenished that. You've replenished your depth at all the positions of need. We talked about going into this thing 3 weeks ago. You know, quarterback has been completely revamped. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Certainly the running back room by retaining Harlan Berry and getting Caden Durham back out of the portal was a great first couple of steps there. The wide receiver, you add 9 new transfers and 3 freshmen, so it's practically a brand new room at wide receiver. Tight end, you're able to retain Tre'Davious Green, and you add some complementary pieces on top of that. Offensive line, you do a really nice job as well. Still might be one move out there that we'll talk a little bit more about, just kind of the latest that we're hearing on the Jordan Sweet and sweepstakes. But you know, they've gone in, they've added, I believe it's around 6 or 7 new players in the transfer portal. It's actually 8 from the transfer portal, and then another 2 when you talk about the freshmen. So practically a brand new room in the offensive line as well. And defensively, you did a really nice job adding starters, really across the board, but certainly at the edge rusher position where you were losing 3 veterans, you brought in the number 5 overall player in the country in Princewell Umanmielen. You brought in Jordan Ross on that defensive end position, that edge rusher position as well. You've added a starting safety and Ty Benefield. You've added a starting linebacker and TJ Daugherty. So we'll dive into some more of the specifics on how I think this on both sides of the ball LSU is playing out here. But before we get into that, I think probably everybody wants to know what the latest here is on Jordan Seaton, the number four ranked player on 24/7 Sports Transfer Portal rankings. He's the number one offensive tackle, just a bona fide plug and play left tackle, first round pick next year when he gets through with his third season of college football. He's got a lot of the big programs coming after him, and LSU is certainly right in the middle of all of that. When you look at just kind of his progress of his recruitment process here, you start with a trip to Mississippi State, he goes to Miami, and then closes that visit off by flying to Baton Rouge, and he stays in Baton Rouge for 2 days earlier this week. From everything we heard, that visit went absolutely fantastic for LSU, and they were really making a push for, obviously, for him to get signed on campus there. But this is a player who I think is just not wanting to rush things right now. I think he's in a state of just, okay, well, let's just, you know, let this process, you know, play out, see who else, you know, might be out there and what those offers could be. And I think you're seeing a little bit right now of just a wait and see game for Jordan Seaton. I know that's probably not the update many people want. They want, you know, to come out here and say that he's signed with LSU and that he's going to be the LSU left tackle, but LSU's not giving up in this pursuit. I can't tell you that much. You know, they are very much working behind the scenes to get this thing done. But you know, Oregon is also very much in the mix on this. Miami's in the mix on this. Those are kind of the main three schools. You know, Mississippi State is still not going away either. But I think that this is really going to come down to not financial or anything like that. This is going to come down to just where Jordan Seaton feels the most comfortable. I think LSU sits in a really good spot there in terms of comfortability and just the pitch and what he can do for this offense is being kind of that final piece to making this whole thing go. But he's somebody that we're certainly monitoring. We're going to continue to monitor here over the next couple days and weeks, or however long it takes for him to make this decision. The window now to enroll at LSU has passed in the spring semester. They could probably wave a magic wand and get that pretty settled for a football player like Seaton very quickly if that decision comes here sooner than later, of course. But he's somebody that I think, you know, LSU really wants as a part of this group, wants to be their future left tackle in 2026, and they're still working very hard to get that done. So we'll keep you guys updated on any kinds of updates that might come here in the days and weeks to come. So that's the Seaton aspect of things. I think from an overall portal perspective, though, whether you land Seaton or you don't land Seaton, this is an absolute home run, grand slam, A+ kind of transfer portal haul for LSU. I think it's one of the best that we've seen. And we knew LSU was going to come in and be very aggressive when Lane Kiffin got the job. And that's just been kind of a staple here that he's built his career on the last 5-6 years being at Ole Miss. He's somebody that goes out and recruits the transfer portal hard and finds players that fit his system, finds players that can fit the culture and what he wants to build with his teams. And he's been able to do it in really a 1 year turnaround the last couple of years. I mean, you saw 5 straight seasons of 10 win seasons in Ole Miss at Oxford. And this last year, of course, going 11-1 and that team making it all the way to the college football playoff semifinal. Like that was a major roster turnover there too. I mean, they added, I believe it was somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 new players to their team last year. They got them coached up, they got them developed, and they were competing at a very, very high level this year for Ole Miss, and was one of the scarier teams in the whole college football playoff as they kind of made their run in the postseason. So he knows, he and his staff know how to evaluate talent. I think it's a really interesting mix of players that they brought in. Like I mentioned, you brought in some of your 1 year rentals, if you were to say, you know, guys that are going to be out of eligibility at the end of this season, but are going to be instant plug and play starters for you. You know, Ty Benefield being one of them, the safety. Prince Will Umanmielen, I think, is probably going to be another who can be a potential first round pick in 2027. There's a couple other guys that are going to be out of eligibility. Aluba is a right guard that they got from North Carolina State, I believe, Maryland. Baz from Maryland. And so he's going to maybe be a plug and play right guard, but he's out of eligibility following the 2026 season. So, LSU's got a lot of pieces here, a lot of experience, but they've also done a nice job of finding players and filling out this roster and depth chart with guys that have multiple years of experience as well. I think the majority of this class has 2 or 3 years worth of eligibility left, which is, I think, really important because, there's going to be an element here of, roster turnover every single season, and you're probably looking, if you're LSU, at eventually, looking at potentially 20 to 25 to 30 kind of classes as opposed to 40. Like, I don't think you want to get up into that 40 range year in, year out. And so need to have some continuity year over year. And I think LSU feels like, if they get a lot of these guys into their system and developed and that they're seeing that progress, that they have a good chance of holding on to a good portion of the guys that they brought in. That's a really important aspect of this as well. I think from, just a position by position breakdown, we can go through some of the big kind of bullet point thoughts that I have on each of these spots. I think quarterback pretty much speaks for itself. We talked a lot about Sam Leavitt last week when we had our initial reactions to him signing with LSU. I can't remember if Husan Longstreet had signed at the time. I have to go back and listen and watch. But for them to pull off Sam Leavitt, Husan Longstreet, and Landon Clark, just to completely revamp that room, bring a lot of excitement. You've got the starter here in Leavitt, who you think is going to be a really great player for you in 2026, maybe 2027 if he decides to come back after this season. But he's going to be coming off that Liz Frank injury, and so LSU wanted to be really aggressive in the guys that they pursued after Leavitt. And they were able to land, Longstreet, who's a top 5 quarterback in the transfer portal, a former 5-star, just a guy when you watch him and you watch him play, whether it was last year in limited time at USC or in high school, you can see why Lane Kiffin and his offensive staff are just really enamored by this player, somebody who has multiple years of eligibility and I think four years of eligibility left, and a guy that it can fit that system really, really well. And the same goes for Landon Clark. I mean, I think they're both mobile guys. They're both players that can offer a lot of the different versatile aspects for the quarterback position that LSU is really looking for at that spot. So just blew quarterback out of the water there. I mean, you had zero at one point, and it wasn't looking great at times for a guy like Sam Leavitt or for just what the future of that position might look like. It was a testy kind of 48 hours there, a trying 48 hours for LSU to get that one over the finish line. But they were able to do it, and that was a really important move for the Tigers to make. You shift over to running back. Certainly getting Harlan Berry back is huge for this group. Going to be probably your leader in the run game. And just I'm so excited to see what LSU can do with Harlan in this new system and in this offense that really caters to strong running back play. I mean, you saw it this last year, of course, with Kewon Lacy, and then a couple of years ago, Kinshawn Judkins. I mean, they have experience here over the last couple of years of getting really elite running back play out of some of their more talented players. And I think Harlan Berry can absolutely be right in that mix with the right kind of development this year. Has to take care of the football, of course. That was, a problem for him towards the end of his regular season this last year, but very talented, immense potential, and I think will fit the system really well. You balance that out by bringing Caden Durham back, who initially went into the transfer portal. You get him back into the system, does some really nice things there. And then you balance him out with Dylan Jones from Wisconsin, Racine Guillory from Utah, Rod Gainey from Charlotte, Stacy Gage from UCF. They got six running backs right now, and I think that's probably a good benchmark for LSU to hit this year. You got to keep those guys healthy at the top, but really a nice job there of replenishing that room, which had also lost pretty much everybody except for Harlan Berry to the portal at one point in time. So shift over to the wide receiver room. LSU returns just one wide receiver from the 2025 class. They bring in 12 new players. So they have 13 wide receivers here on this roster as we sit here today on January the 23rd. So I think that this is a really interesting mix of players. I think Jace Brown from Kansas State, Eugene Wilson from Florida, Winston Watkins from Ole Miss, Trey Brown that you got from Old Dominion, Jackson Harris from Hawaii. Maybe those are kind of the high-end guys that maybe you see LSU really going to early in the season, guys that you're giving a lot of opportunities to win those jobs and be kind of the most consistent pieces of your receiving game. Those are all players that averaged in between, 13 and 18 and in one case 20 yards a catch. I mean, like, they are explosive wide receivers that LSU's bringing in this for this season, guys that I think can come in and immediately contribute to this roster and do a really, really nice job. So that's the wide receiver room there. I think that they have no shortage of options. It's just about getting those guys, in rhythm and in sync this offseason with not only, Longstreet and Clark, who they'll be working with in the spring, but also Levitt when he gets back healthy. That'll be really, really important. Tight end, I mean, it's going to start and end with Tre'Davious Green. He's going to be your main tight end. He's going to be a receiving weapon. You can maybe even push him into that wide receiver category if you really wanted to, because I do think LSU is going to use him at wide receiver a ton. He's going to be just a very versatile piece. You've balanced him out with a guy like Malachi Thomas, a really talented player, a guy who, can come in and maybe be an inline blocker for you and also, stretch out and be a good pass catcher in short yardage situations. I think JC Anderson, the freshman's very talented. We'll see kind of what his development looks like, but, Tre'Davious Green is going to be the main piece in that tight end room and a guy that I think has all the potential in the world to really stand out as a star this year in the SEC and potentially be a high draft pick at this time next year. And really kind of, be one of the focal points of this offense, if you will. So really excited to see what Tre'Davious does in this system. Offensive line, you've got 16 players, you've got 10 new additions, you've got 6 returners. So that's obviously a room that lost a lot to the transfer portal, but I think you've done a nice job of replenishing what you've lost with some veteran talent, some guys that are maybe a little bit unknown as well. Jacoby Jones is your JUCO commit that they got, a very talented player that I think is going to maybe surprise some people. Jaquan Sprinkle is a guy that you got out of the FCS level. So they've gone deep into the weeds here with a couple of these guys, but you balance that out with guys like William Satterwhite, who's played at Tennessee. Sean Tompkins was a starter at Baylor this last season for 5 years at the offensive tackle position. Devin Harper played some at Ole Miss. Obviously a guy that I think many people in Louisiana are familiar with as a former top 100 recruit who signed with Ole Miss out of the 2025 class. We mentioned Alu Ba from Maryland is a guy that I think you can plug and play at one of your guard spots. Darren Stray from Kentucky is another guy that I think follows Eric Wolford from Kentucky, and LSU has a good shot at getting him implemented into this system and seeing what he can do potentially as a tackle. And then, of course, some of your returners. Braylon Moore is going to be your starting center. Solomon Thomas, I think, is going to compete for you at guard. Weston Davis will compete for you at tackle. We'll see if they are a little bit more versatile with Weston this offseason. Maybe try him out on the left side in the spring and see kind of how that goes. But those are kind of maybe your main three. The Bordelon brothers are back. They'll provide some good depth for you as well. Braden Augustus is a center who's been around the program now for a few years. So they have some good pieces here on the offensive line. I think it really rounds together well, immensely well, if you're able to land a guy like Jordan Seaton to kind of complement everybody and balance that thing out at left tackle. But even if you don't land Jordan Seaton, I still think you're okay on the offensive line. It's just going to be a matter of, okay, how many of these guys can we get into this system? How many can we get implemented? And you know, feel like we can get developed enough to go in there and contribute. And I think that's just going to be a major question that LSU has to answer here in the coming weeks and months and leading up to the 2026 season. But this was also something that was pointed out to me, was that, you know, this is a staff and Lane Kiffin and Charlie Weiss Jr. and a lot of the offensive staff members that are coming over from Ole Miss to LSU, that they've dealt with stuff like this before. Like they've never had to rely on an elite offensive line to have success as an offense. And so they will be able to find ways to be creative as long as you can get five guys out there that can do their jobs, do them well, not make too many mistakes. So that'll be the goal for the offensive line here over the next several months. Shifting over to the defense, you got so many great players back on the defensive side of the ball. You know, Whit Weeks at linebacker, DJ Pickett and PJ Woodland at your cornerback spot, Dominic McKinley up front on the defensive line, Gabriel Relaford up front at the edge spot. You've got, you know, a couple safeties back into Marcus Cooley and Deshaun Spears. So there's a good nucleus there of players that I think LSU already had, and you just needed to fill it out with a lot of players that you feel like could come in and contribute right away at really important positions of need. And when you looked at the defensive end at the edge rusher spot, you needed multiple contributors there. And I think that they did a fantastic job of bringing in not only Jordan Ross from Tennessee, who I think is now starting to maybe figure things out a little bit after a couple of years at Tennessee. He could potentially be a breakout candidate, I think, for LSU on the defensive side of the ball. But Umam Mielen is the guy that, you know, is going to lead this group, be a huge leader of this defense, coming off a season where he had 9 sacks, 13 tackles for loss at Ole Miss. And if you look at kind of his games and you look at some of his film, a lot of those plays came against, you know, SEC caliber teams. You know, he had at least 1 sack in 5 different SEC games. I believe in the postseason he had 2.5 sacks and 3 tackles for loss in the 3 games for Ole Miss in the postseason. So a guy that can create consistent pressure for you in the backfield, get to quarterbacks, make plays in the backfield, and also has improved as a run stopper too. From a couple of the different people that I talked to that have watched his film and kind of scout him on the service, on the 24/7 sports service. So he's a huge, huge piece to this thing. And we know how much Blake Baker wants to use his Havoc style defense. And that has to start obviously up front with those guys on the defensive line, creating a lot of pressure. And I think they'll be able to, when you factor in Umam Mielen and Ross and Gabe Relaford and, you know, Damian Shanklin's a really interesting young player. Trenton Henderson's a freshman coming up this year. Maybe he can scratch his way into some kind of role. But those main core guys, I think, are going to be really, really fun and really interesting to see how they play off of one another. On the defensive line, you've got 9 players. You've got Dominic McKinley, who's returning, as we mentioned. I think he's going to be an anchor for you there. You've brought in Stephylan Green from Clemson at the transfer portal. You brought in Malik Blockton from the transfer portal as well. But this is really going to be interesting because I do think that LSU is going to try to find a way to get a couple of these freshman stars in the action right away in 2026. You know, Lamar Brown comes in later this summer. Richard Anderson is already on campus. Those 2 5 stars are just going to be huge for this program in the immediate and long-term future. But I do think that LSU is going to try to find ways to get them both involved. So I'm really excited to see what they do there with those 2 guys and their development, how they progress. Deuce Gerald is also another one that kind of fits that. He's a little bit more of a smaller defensive tackle, maybe more of the Bernard Gooden type, you know, a player who's more in that 270, 275 range when he gets, kind of fills out his body a little bit more in the strength and conditioning program this summer. But just a guy that I think LSU really, really likes and thinks can be an impact interior lineman here going forward. So the defensive line, defensive ends, you combine both of them, they've got 17 players there for those 4 spots. And I think there's just immense talent, and you'll see a lot of rotation as you do for most seasons at that group. It's a very taxing group, but taxing positions to play, but LSU has a lot of depth and a lot of talent there, a lot of potential to be really, really strong with Kevin Peoples and first-year D-line coach Sterling Lucas. You shifted over to linebackers. They've got 9 linebackers this year. You retain Whit Weeks. You retain Devon Keys. Retain Tylan Singleton and Zach Weeks and Charles Ross and Jaden Breaker and Keelan Moses. You get so much of your depth back from last year, so much of those young players back that, honestly, I was a little surprised they got them all back. Like, I mean, they didn't lose – I don't believe they lost one linebacker that it was like, okay, well, that guy makes sense. You know, he can leave. But they got all these guys back, and then they added on top of that. And I think that just speaks volumes to what Blake Baker's done in that room, the relationships he's built in that room. You've got TJ Jodery coming in from Ole Miss. He'll be an anchor, a defensive leader for you next to Whit Weeks. Devon Keys will certainly play for you as well. And I'll be interested to see kind of what happens with some of these younger players. Like, does Zach Weeks develop into a contributor, or Ross or Breaker, or Singleton continue to take steps forward? Moses, like, they have so many guys here that I could see, having really strong springs, really strong summers, and then going into fall, it's like, this is going to be a really hectic competition here behind Whit Weeks. I think we know that Whit Weeks is going to start. I think we have a pretty good indication that TJ Dottery will play a lot as well. But can, a couple of those young players really kind of step up and do a nice job and really fit into that system extremely, extremely well. I'm excited to see what that looks like. You can maybe even throw CJ Jim Coyley in there too. I had him at the star position, but I don't think that position's going away, but maybe how they title it and what the players that they use at that position could change here a little bit. I think Deshaun Spears is a candidate for being maybe that nickel safety, the guy that plays kind of closer to the line of scrimmage. So you can even shift CJ Jim Coyley over to linebacker, or he's 6'3", 220, maybe even move him as like an edge or something. Like, he maybe has that kind of potential to be a speedy off-ball pass rusher. Very interesting player. Who got a little bit of playing time this last year, but will certainly develop and continue to play this season as well. So that's the linebacker position. And then you get into the secondary, where I think LSU is probably the strongest from a defensive perspective in terms of what they return and what they brought in. You've got 9 corners. You've got 9 safeties. Really just a fantastic group of players when you look at what you have returning in DJ Pickett and PJ Woodland at the cornerback spots. Those are going to be the guys that you look at as, your plug and play starters. They played a ton for you this year. They played extremely well. Unless one of them gets hurt, knock on wood, I do think that those guys are going to play quite a bit for you, and will be in the lineup, game in and game out. Jakeen Jackson is another guy that you could see rotate in at corner. I think he's got a really promising future. Aiden Anding, we'll see how he develops. Michael Turner is going to be a third-year player now in the program for you as well. He stuck around. Very interesting athlete that really surprised me last year in fall camp and was very consistent. And we'll see if he can't maybe carve out some kind of role there as well. And then you brought in Havon Finney. You've brought in Dez Ellis in the freshman class. That's a really strong nucleus as you kind of build not only for now, but you build for the future. Those guys are going to factor in heavily to what you do going forward. And then at the safety spot, we talked about it a little bit, but Tamarcus Cooley coming back, Deshaun Spears coming back. Those are maybe your top two guys that you've got returning that, really you think are plug and play starters for you, guys that I think can make an immediate impact for LSU this season and continue to be really strong starters. And you round that out with a guy like Ty Benefield coming out of the transfer portal. I think you look at Benefield and you look at the way that he can look at his role in this defense. You can maybe match it similar to what Monster Delane had a year ago. And I don't mean from just like impact or anything like that, but just the Delane model was, I'm a day 2 pick right now. If I come to LSU and play really, really well, I can maybe get myself into that first round conversation. And that's exactly what he did. And he's now going to be a potential top 15 pick in the draft here in April. So I think Benefield, who has over 200 tackles in his career, just a really hard-nosed hitter, a guy that can come up and play at the line of scrimmage and get in the backfield and make plays for you. or drop into coverage and make plays in the deep part of the field as well. Really versatile player. I think he looks at that monster Delane model and says, well, I can do that too. And, you know, I think he could certainly be a guy that thrives in this defense and potentially raises his draft stock quite a bit as well. So that would be a nice trend if LSU could start to develop that with defensive backs, if Delane and then Benefield, and then, you know, maybe you go in the portal again next year for another similar type of player, and that can kind of be a theme for you in the program at that in the secondary. So and then you've also got Fahim Delane, Monster's brother, who entered the transfer portal and came down here. He's got 4 years of eligibility left. You've got some really interesting young players, and Aiden Hall, Isaiah Washington, and Jace Thomas. You know, these are all really good players that I think you know, are going to continue to develop in LSU system, and will have an opportunity, maybe not, you know, immediately this year, but could see some time on special teams. They could see some potential rotational roles where they play in a couple of games and just kind of get their feet wet and things of that nature. But you know, I think there's going to be a lot of competition there in the secondary, but you know, there's a pretty good understanding right now that I think there's a core five guys of Pickett, Woodland, Benefield, Cooley, and Spears. Those are maybe the five that you think of immediately when you think of LSU secondary this year. You know, moving on to the special teams, you know, you got four players, kicker Scott Starzik that you got from Arkansas, guy who's going to be a multi-year player for you, a multi-year performer for you, played really well for Arkansas as a freshman last year. Chadwick is back for you, and LSU's also brought in Hayden Craig from Florida. He's following his position coach, the new special teams coordinator over here. I believe his name's Joe Houston. I'm just kind of losing track on names here, so forgive me if I got that wrong, but he's following, you know, his special teams coordinator over here from Florida. So Chadwick and Craig will battle it out for one another for that punter position. We'll see kind of how that competition plays out. But those are just a few of my thoughts on the roster. You know, that's kind of the breakdown that I have for you today. 92 overall players, as we mentioned. The grade there is a 349 right now in terms of total points between you combine transfer portal and freshman class. It's just a really elite hall of players, and you know, we'll see if LSU can't pull off another big one here with Jordan Seaton. Again, don't have an immediate timeline on when he's looking to make a decision, but we'll certainly be ready for it whenever it comes through the pipeline. But he's somebody that I think would really round out this roster and round out this class immensely. I think when you look at the expectations of this team, you know, it starts and ends there with, you know, potential, you know, LSU didn't dump all this money into a new coaching staff and into this roster. You know, to be okay with, you know, kind of easing into 2026 here. I think that they are pedal to the metal. They want this thing to go extremely, extremely well in 2026. The schedule is an absolute bear, but it's one of the more fun, interesting schedules that I think we've had here in quite some time. When you talk about, you know, the home game at Clemson, you talk about going on the road 2 weeks later to Ole Miss and the environment that that's going to be. You've got Texas and Alabama at home, I believe, in back-to-back weeks later here in November. Yeah, and then you've got, you know, you go on the road to Tennessee, you go you get, you know, you go on the road to Kentucky, you get A&M at home, you get you know, Mississippi State at home, on the road to Auburn. You haven't played Auburn now in a couple of years. So there's just so many interesting interesting games and fun games in this schedule, and I think LSU has the roster to compete at a very high level here and be a very fun team to watch here in Lane Kiffin's first season. So with that, we'll get out of here. I would like to remind you guys actually that we have one of our deals going on right now. We've had deals going on and off here for the last couple of months, but you upgrade now and you can save, you know, 50% off of your VIP membership with us. That's one of the deals that we got going on. And then you can also sign up 2 months for only $1. You know, that's kind of one of our other ones right now, is that you can get a trial run here over the next couple months. We got baseball coming up. Certainly we've got spring football that we'll be diving into. And then, of course, recruiting never stops either. So I would ask you guys to come join us over at Go247. We're doing the hard work and doing some really good stuff over there right now. And so with that, thank you guys for watching and listening if you made it this far. I'm Glenn West, and we'll talk to you next time.